Welcome back to another exciting episode of The Sonia Looney Show. I'm your host, Sonia Looney, and today I am thrilled to bring you a conversation with a very special guest, professional beach volleyball player Betsy Flint. Welcome to The Sonia Looney Show. This is a podcast about high performance and well-being, and I'm your host, Sonia. And if you're new around here, I am a world and multi-time national champion in mountain biking, and I still race professionally. I'm a health and mental performance coach, a writer, a mom of two little kids, and I own my own business. And if you're not new around here, welcome. I'm so glad that you're back, and I'm so grateful that you are a part of this awesome community and that we get to learn and grow together.
At the end of the day, like, nothing matters more than my family, and when I leave this earth, that's all I'm going to have with me. It's not going to be the things or the volleyball. I'm like, will I physically be able to come back? Will I have the desire and drive to compete? Because I've heard of people who kind of just lose their competitiveness. And I've really flourished and loved being a mom and an athlete. I feel like it's definitely made me better. It's given me more perspective. It's definitely made me rethink my whys and why I'm competing. Yeah, it's definitely made me level up. I think I'm a better person and a better athlete because of it.
High performance and also athlete motherhood are two topics that I'm very passionate about, and today marries the two. In case you missed it, I released my documentary, Benched, that was filmed back in August of 2020 when my first child was still a baby. And it toured the world at many film festivals, amassing a lot of different accolades. And we're super proud of that. Myself and my film crew at The Heist are very happy to say that now anyone can watch Benched. It is a short film, so it's an 8-minute film. There's a link to it in the show notes, but it challenges the societal norms of what it means to be an athlete, a mother, and a high performer. Today, I was really excited to speak with Betsy Flint because she brings a unique perspective to our audience of endurance athletes and high performers. As the first female volleyball player we've had on the podcast, she offers invaluable insights into the mental aspects that are so crucial to success in sports and life. In our conversation today, Betsy shares candidly about the financial challenges of competing professionally in volleyball, shedding light on the often overlooked realities of life as an athlete. And I was personally interested and also saddened to hear that it's difficult for people like Betsy, who are performing at the world's highest level in beach volleyball. As a mountain biker in a niche sport, I knew that it's challenging on my end, but I just assumed that it was easier for athletes in more mainstream sports, but I guess that's not the case. We also delve into the delicate balance of motherhood and athletic career, exploring the strategies and support systems that Betsy relies on to thrive in both those roles. And as a side note here, I want to say that our expectations and our systems that we have are constantly changing as parents. There are many different things that can happen in a given day or a given week, and what worked for you last month might not work for you this month anymore with your time management. Case in point is that if you have little kids, especially if they are in preschool or daycare, you're probably going to be sick a lot, and that is going to drastically impact how you train and how you set goals. And there are going to be different times of year or different times in your parenthood journey where that's not the case. So I always talk about intentional imbalance, how I prioritize my goals. And that might mean that if there are challenges coming from the parenthood side of things or energies that need to be focused on parenthood over all else, that might mean that some of my other energy going into my goals might not be as forthright in that period. So it's about energy management, not time management. And that is what podcast guest number one, Dr. Kristen Keim, who's a sports psychologist, said, and that has stuck with me over almost 7 years. One of the highlights of our discussion is Betsy's approach to mental preparation and coping with the ups and downs of competitive sports. From journaling to working with a mental performance coach, she reveals the techniques that have helped her stay focused and resilient on the volleyball court. And mental performance coaching is such a key thing for athletes and business people and people who care just in general about performance. And a lot of people think that it's all about the doing, the output of our work. But our mindset and our mental skills behind that are the foundation to which we jump off of whenever we are practicing the actual thing that we are doing. Building a strong mental foundation that is rooted in high performance and well-being is what allows your job, your craft, your parenting, whatever it is that you want to perform in. That's what it gives it legs and allows it to thrive and be sustainable over the long haul. That is why I am a mental performance coach, because I love helping people find their best and have the tools and support to do so. Betsy also talked about her evolving perspective on competition and purpose, especially after becoming a mom. She shares how her views have shifted to embrace the idea of competitors as allies in the journey towards personal growth, and how finding fulfillment beyond athletic achievements has brought newfound motivation and joy into her life. And as a side note, I actually recorded an entire podcast. It was a solo episode on my thoughts on how competition doesn't have to only be about beating others and how our competitors can actually help us be better. So that's linked up in the show notes. I also recently put out a podcast with Kim Perkins, who is a PhD in positive organizational psychology, and we talked all about competition in organizations. So that is also linked up in the show notes. So whether you're a seasoned athlete, a new parent navigating the challenges of balancing family and career, or simply someone seeking inspiration to pursue your passions, or hey, maybe you are all three just like I am, I invite you to join me in this insightful conversation with the incredible Betsy Flint. Let's dive right in. Betsy, you're the first volleyball player we've had on the podcast, so welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You are talking to a lot of endurance athletes and just people interested in high performance. So I think you're in a great spot.
Yes, I'm excited. I've been listening to your episodes and love all the mental psychology things you're getting into. So I'm excited to get into it.
Thanks. So can you tell us a little bit about the journey to become a professional volleyball player?
So yeah, I'm professional beach volleyball player, Team USA. I have a 2-year-old daughter. She's almost 3, keeping me super busy. And it's definitely a challenging sport. I love it. It is hard to make money. Just for people who don't know, we get money based on our performance. And we just have to work your way through the ranks. And a lot of it's on our own dime when we start. And then we really rely on sponsors and yeah, our results and our finishes. So yeah, it's a challenging sport, but I love it. Obviously, I love competing. Love beach volleyball. It's just 2-on-2. So I love that I am in full control of the match and it's just me and my partner. And we have to find solutions and figure out ways to win.
So did you always grow up playing volleyball or were there other sports involved?
I played other sports. I felt like I was a tomboy growing up. I wanted to be like my brother. I played softball. I played basketball, volleyball. I really love basketball. Had kind of a bad experience with coaches my freshman year of high school and decided just to stick with volleyball. I had a really good friend group and enjoyed learning and getting better there. And I played a little bit of beach volleyball in high school, but nothing too serious. I was not very good and eventually got better. You naturally do with the experience. There's just two of us and you get every single touch. So that's pretty great.
So how do you decide or where does the mentality come from of, wow, I could really do this like professionally or I can go to the Olympics doing this?
Yeah. My first year out of college, the first tournament me and my partner played in, I didn't qualify for the tournament, which was a bummer. We were excited. There's this qualifier to get into the main draw and we didn't even make it into the main draw to make money. And it was really disappointing. And through that year, we eventually qualified and we just kept improving finishes. We had, it like went in order. It was like a 9th, a 7th, a 5th. And we ended up winning a tournament that first year. And that kind of told me, I'm like, okay, I can do this. Like at first it was kind of a hobby. Like I didn't really know, like, is this what I'm going to be doing? I had other aspirations too, but then yeah, loved this sport and loved that I had some success. It, you know, gave me a taste of maybe that I can do this. And that gave me some confidence.
I want to ask you a bit about the business side of the sport, because you said that it's hard to make money. I think people always assume, especially televised sports, like, oh, these athletes are making all this money. And cycling is also a sport where it's really difficult to make money. Can you tell us just about your experience on the business side? Like, how much does it cost to enter a tournament? Like, what is a typical prize purse? And what are your sponsorship relationships like?
Yeah. To enter a tournament, an AVP, which is our domestic tour that we compete in here, it costs $200 to enter. And I'd say minimum, you're leaving with, I think you're splitting $2,000 if you lose two matches. Plus you're traveling to this tournament. So your airfare, they do provide hotel when the tournament starts, which is awesome. They started that a couple of years ago. So that's been incredibly helpful. Internationally, it's free for us to enter. Our USA staff does that for us. We do have to travel all on our own. And I'm traveling probably 2 weekends at least of every month when we're in season. And we have to pay for hotel until the tournament starts. And as soon as you get out of the tournament, you have to pay for the hotel on your own, which is hard. We've been left in some situations where there's not rooms, or you have to scramble and you lost at 8 p.m. and now you don't have a hotel room. So there are some challenges. We do get support from USA Volleyball because we're top athletes. Like when I first started out, we did not. But now they give a travel stipend, which does help cover the cost. It doesn't cover everything. And I do get a monthly athlete stipend, which helps for sure. But, you know, I have a family trying to make a living too. The most we'll split is $30,000 if you win a tournament. Mm-hmm. And it trickles down from there. World Champs is bigger. Olympics is our highest stage, but you don't get paid for that. There's no point involved. There's no money involved. Yeah. And it's about developing relationships with sponsors, which really a lot of it is who you know, and that really gets your foot in the door, and that's helpful. I wouldn't say until recently I've had a lot of success with sponsors because I've been like improving in the ranks, which is awesome, but it's really hard for like the middle tier, or if you're trying to become one of the top athletes, just to fund yourself right away.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the expectations of the sponsorships?
A lot of it is social media, which is challenging. I don't like to think of myself as an influencer. I'd rather be known for like my sport and doing well on the sand. But a lot of it's social media, monthly things, shouting them out and all that. So I do want to shout out my sponsors. I have incredible sponsors. Go Macro, Left on Friday is a great swimsuit company. Just started working with Just Ingredients, which is a whole food nutrition company. And Bea Newport, Resort and Spa, and Edelson PC. So I have a great group of sponsors that support me as a mom and an athlete, and that's really important to me.
So that helps, number one, like pay you an income, and then helps cover the cost to go to these events.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, similar to cycling, a lot of people are privateers. So some people get funding on a team, but a lot of people have to go after their own sponsors. Do you guys have an agent that you work with, or do people typically go on their own to find these brand relationships?
I've done most of it on my own. I recently have gotten an agent, so that's been great. And she's been helpful in getting me on some podcasts like this. So I'm very grateful for that. But a lot of it has been on my own. And it's been fun to navigate, but it's also hard now that I'm a mom and juggling so many things. It's hard to prioritize all the sponsorship stuff, when I'd rather just be focusing on my training. And then when I'm home, I want to be focusing on being a mom and not trying to like mix the two.
Totally. And then also the energy and effort of finding the sponsorships and staying in touch with the sponsors and all of the, because it's a full-time job to be your own agent.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I want to talk about motherhood, because we have a couple of things in common. And yeah, one of them is I have my son's almost 4, my daughter's almost 2. What was that like, making that decision to have a baby as a professional athlete?
It was challenging. I mean, a decent time. I did get pregnant during COVID, where tournaments were stopped, and I kind of knew things weren't going to go back as normal right away. So I was very fortunate that we got pregnant fairly quick. That was helpful, but it was hard. I didn't know. I'm like, will I physically be able to come back? Will I have the desire and drive to compete? Because I've heard of people who kind of just lose their competitiveness. And I've really flourished and loved being a mom and an athlete. I feel like it's definitely made me better. It's given me more perspective. It's definitely made me rethink my whys and why I'm competing. Yeah, it's definitely made me level up. I think I'm a better person and a better athlete because of it.
How did you overcome the uncertainty of, like, I don't know what my body's going to be like afterwards, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, knowing it's not in my control, I can only do so much. And know that family is way more important than volleyball is. It's hard to think about that and put in perspective when volleyball is like everything right now. But at the end of the day, like, nothing matters more than my family. And when I leave this earth, that's all I'm going to have with me. It's not going to be the things or the volleyball. So just, yeah, having that in mind. And I work with a sports psychologist too, coming back, because it's hard having those self-doubts and our bodies change. And there's just so much. It's like, will I get a partner? Will I be as good? I don't know what's going to happen. There's so much uncertainty. And that was just helpful to talk to someone about that. A lot of it's, you know, I like to have control and know what's going to happen. So it was helpful just to talk out. And yeah, things worked out well for me. I had great people supporting me. My husband, who slowed me down when I wanted to start working out right away, but I knew it was important to slow down and let my body heal after having, after delivering Cora. And I got an amazing beach volleyball partner right after, Emily Day, who I played with before I was pregnant. And it worked out, the timing wise, that we got to play together right after. So it just felt natural when I got back on the sand that she was my partner. And it felt like things hadn't really changed, which was nice. Mm-hmm. And then I had a great coach who really stuck with me when it was hard. You know, jumping again when you haven't jumped in so long is challenging. But yeah, we've figured out some solutions and found a way. And that first year after I had her, I played about 6 months after I had her. I did think I was going to be back playing at 3 months, which is ridiculous that I thought that. Mm-hmm. It would be very challenging. But I did get back out there at 6 months and ended up making the finals of the Manhattan Beach AVP, which is one of the biggest ones we have. So that was reassuring for me that I can still do this. And I knew I wasn't even close to where I was before having a baby at that time. So that was really helpful for me.
Yes, it sounds like also just having a lot of supportive people around you, a good teammate, good coaching, good psychology, you know, sports psychologists, all these different things helped you be that, like, that's an incredible success. Like, congratulations. And with such a young baby.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm sure you felt those challenges as well.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to talk to you, because I think this is important to bring up, is talking about pelvic floor health, especially postpartum. And you mentioned your sport, you use a lot of jumping and like quick movements. And, you know, how much time did you spend on pelvic floor or physio?
A lot. I had a friend, she's a midwife, and she recommended that I go see a pelvic floor physical therapist around like late in my second trimester. And so I was able to meet with her, and my goal was not to pee when I jumped, because I had heard people, you know, going through those challenges. And that was really, really helpful to work with her consistently at the end of my pregnancy. I did think it helped my delivery as well. And then after as well. I wanted to jump into things a lot faster than she thought. And I listened to her advice because she knew my goals and she had the experience. So I did a ton of pelvic floor work, and I would recommend it to all moms, all new moms. And when you're pregnant, I think it's overlooked in our healthcare system. I think that it should be fully covered and everyone should have access to it. So I'm very fortunate that I had access to it, and definitely encourage people that it's worth the money. It's worth going to see someone.
I want to keep on this motherhood thread for a while, because I'll send it to you. I did this documentary that was touring around at these international film festivals last year, but it was about like a lot of things. But one of the things I said in it was that there's a lot of amazing women doing great things out there who are moms, but their stories are just not getting told. So I think it's really important to talk about all of the different types of journeys that people have had.
Yeah, I am interested in seeing that. I think that's incredible. I think now that I'm a mom, I have different perspectives. It's like I've grown up, I'm in this new universe of, yeah, understanding that everyone is going through different challenges and just being there to support other women and other people, because everyone's going through something and it's, you don't always see it. People don't talk about it. People think I have it all put together, but I don't. It's really hard. And for me as a mom, I've really learned a lot of it's about regulating my own emotions to be the best mom I can be, because it's very challenging when you have a kid that's whining all the time and they have all these unmet needs. And so do I. And I don't always recognize that I'm tired and I'm hungry and I'm stressed and all these things. So it's definitely been a wake up call for me in my journey. And it's helped me definitely better myself.
How did you manage the things that go on with having a baby while, when you got back into competing? Like, I'm not sure if you're breastfeeding or not and whatever, but like, if you were, you know, that type of thing, the energy demands of that, the sleep deprivation that comes with having a baby. And also, I don't know if you've started experiencing this as well, but like you get sick a lot when you have toddlers because your kids are always sick. So how have you navigated those waters?
Yeah, I'm fortunate my husband has been so helpful. He works afternoon shifts usually. So he's watching her in the morning time while I'm training and getting everything I need to get done. And then he goes to work in the afternoon. So it is hard on us because we don't see each other as often as we used to, but it's been so helpful. And I do think it helps. She's not in a full daycare, so she's not getting sick as often. Until recently, we got her into like a gym daycare so my husband could work out and she could have some socialization too. So that's been great. Initially, you know, the sleep deprivation, you can't prepare for that. It's so hard. Definitely having my goals and my why really helped me get going on the days I didn't want to. And being smart with, if I'm not sleeping well, I'm not going to do all out training. I'm going to do less of a lift, or I'm going to talk to my trainer about how we can adjust things so I don't get hurt, because we know that can be a reason why we get injured as athletes is a lack of sleep. So I think we kind of just get used to it. My daughter's never been a great sleeper. I don't want to jinx it, but this last week, she finally figured something out where she's sleeping through the night. Before that, for at least 2.5 years, like we're up in the night for multiple hours. It's very challenging. I'm still navigating it, but it's definitely, I'm like, how did I used to function with all this sleep and now I don't have it, but it's okay. We make it work.
And what mental skills are you employing? Because it's easy to like look at other people and say, like, that you're competing against and saying, well, they didn't have, you know, the same type of training. They don't have all these other challenges that I have. Like I've experienced that before, and I have to shut off that narrative because it's not a productive one. Like, does that ever happen to you?
Sometimes, but I almost think it gives me an edge. I like to think that, like, I'm going through all these challenges. You have no idea. You go home and you sit on your couch and you recover at night, and I am running sprints after my toddler. For sure, sometimes those thoughts come up, like, I can be doing more. This past year, I felt like I didn't condition as much as I had in the past, because the days I would condition 4+ times a week, I didn't have energy to be a mom, and I was just not happy, and it was really challenging. So I ended up conditioning like 1 to 2 times a week, and I still felt in great shape when I was playing, and I was a better mom because of it. So I've just had to make some adjustments. There was a tournament this year. We played an AVP Manhattan Beach Open during the hurricane or the tropical storm, and they had pushed our matches to start at 7 a.m. And so we had to be up super early. We had to be there by 6 a.m., which normally tournaments start at like 9 a.m., maybe 8. And I was hyped. I was like, no one else wakes up at this time. I'm usually up at 5 a.m. This is when I thrive. So I just thought it gave me an edge, and we ended up playing 3 matches in that day and won the tournament. So it was a cool thing to see. And yeah, just to use all that thing, all the motherhood as an edge for performance.
Yeah. Congrats. And it really sounds like you have a lot of awareness around like your self-talk and your narrative, because I heard you already multiple times, you know, shift to saying, not even shift away from something, but I heard you focus on the things that are going to be beneficial to you instead of all the things that might not be beneficial.
Yeah, I feel like I've had really good mental skills coaches along the way. Mm-hmm. I volleyball at Loyola Marymount University in California, and our program definitely focused on mental skills. And I coached as well for 5 years. And that really helped me as well. And we worked with so many different people. So I had a lot of people just, you know, different. Sometimes you say the same thing, but in a different way, and it clicks. So it's been helpful. I think that's one thing I want to work on this year, is getting back with like a mental skills coach or a sports psychologist. I didn't work with one as much last year, and I think it's just so beneficial every single like month to meet with someone. So that's a goal this year of mine, just to keep meeting with someone. But yeah, I've learned to hunt the good. It's easy for me to focus on negatives, and I've got to catch myself and find the positives, especially after matches, after losses. It's easy just to go down the rabbit hole of what you did wrong. But there's a lot of things that we do right, and we've got to acknowledge that too.
Yeah. And also with failure, there's a lot of personalization. Like, I am a failure, or taking on way too much responsibility for something that happened that you might not have to take all the responsibility for.
Yes. Especially with, two of us out there, it feels like the weight's on our shoulders for sure at times.
I want to get into the mental side of your sport, but I want to ask you, you said that after you became a mom, your why shifted. So what is your why? Like, what did it shift from, and what is it now?
Yeah. Before having her, I don't think I really dove into why I was competing. I loved competing. I loved winning. I hate losing. Mm-hmm. And there was not necessarily a big purpose. And after having her, I needed to make that adjustment, because it was hard to leave for international tournaments. It was hard to go sacrifice all this time away from my daughter. So now, for sure, my why is to inspire young athletes, young moms, any mom, that they can continue to pursue their dreams no matter what's going on, whether they're a mom or not. And definitely to inspire my daughter, that as she grows up, to pursue her passion to the fullest. And I hope she can look back and see that one day. She probably won't remember a ton right now, but yeah, those are my big whys, and they fuel me when we lose on the road and we're going to another tournament and I just want to be home. It's a good reminder to think about those things.
Yeah. It sounds like a big shift from almost like self-focus to other focus. Like, how is this serving others in addition to, helping myself, but how is this serving others?
Yes, for sure.
Hmm. Do you ever feel pressure around that? Like, I'm speaking just from my own experience. Sometimes when I'm at some of these races, maybe they're not going as well as I hope that they would go. And then I worry that that's showing people that, well, maybe you can't perform at a high level and have kids, or maybe you can't do it and you're showing the world that you can't do it. Do you ever have that like doubt or pressure?
Less about other people thinking about that, more about like my daughter and my family, like feeling guilty that, oh, I'm not performing and my husband's sacrificing all this time and energy to watch my daughter while I'm gone. And obviously it's easier in hindsight, like thinking about it now, it's like there's so much more to it. But in the moment, it's so hard to have that perspective. Yeah. So I see where you're coming from for sure.
What do you do whenever those thoughts come up?
I'm really good at not talking about things and like internalizing and not getting out. But I played with an incredible partner this year that was able to help me with that. She definitely verbalizes things better. So I was able to talk to her about it, and she could reassure me, like, it's not always about the results. It's about inspiring Cora so she can see this when she's older. But yeah, I was thinking about a little bit about New Year's resolutions. I hadn't like written it down or anything, but I do want to get back into journaling and just, I do a good job on the sand, with debriefing, like how practice went, how matches went, but it's hard in the busyness of motherhood to like sit down sometimes and just think about what's on my mind. So I want to get back into that, where I'm thinking more about when reflecting on the day, and not just volleyball. Like, it's so hard at the end of the day. I just want to go to sleep, or I want to, or no, I don't want to, but I probably need to do the dishes and clean up everything. I don't have time to actually like reflect and think about things for myself. So I want to get back into that. And that will help me.
Yeah. I'm doing this. So I'm doing this master's degree in positive psychology right now. And like, meaning and purpose is part of positive psychology. And one of the exercises that we had to do last semester was write down our one of the meaning stories from our life, and then write down from the research why that was meaningful and created purpose. And I found it really interesting that in the research, like the storytelling piece and the reflective piece of something that you did can greatly increase your sense of meaning and purpose. So the journaling, I've been thinking about that as well, of how writing about certain things that are happening can actually create more meaning and purpose.
Yeah, that's incredible. I did start, my friend gave me this journal to write to my daughter, Cora, when I'm away and I'm missing her. So I did do that a little bit this year, like writing down where I was and what I was going through. And yeah, I guess I'm very driven by her. And sometimes I forget to like do it for myself. I can definitely take that into practice and do it more for myself.
And So you're shooting for the Olympics are this summer, which is like crazy that they're already here again. How does that process, the Olympic process, work for volleyball?
Yeah, it is your best 12 finishes over the course of a year and a half. So last January 2023 until this June 2024. And yeah, you play in a ton of tournaments and it's your best 12 finishes. For us, I think right now we're ranked number 8 or 9 in the world. And we have to be the top 2 US teams. It's only 2 teams per country. We do have a team that's like number 2 and number 3. So it's a little out of reach just as far as like my partner had knee surgery and she's getting another knee surgery. So it's challenging like working through that too, where it felt like after like world championships, it was a big disappointment that, oh man, Olympics are, the door is closing, which is really hard. It's been challenging.
Yeah. I imagine that's really challenging, especially because especially with kids, you're really trying to make the most out of everything that you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. But it goes back to my why, like, yeah, for sure. I want to be in the Olympics and I want to win a medal in the Olympics. But will that satisfy me? Will that, is that enough? Like we're always, I feel like as athletes sometimes chasing this high and the high of winning. And as soon as you win a tournament, I mean, in the next couple of days, it's over. Like you're back to reality. I'm sure you've felt that before too.
I'm laughing. And that's the entire reason I'm in this master's degree, is to help myself and high achievers find more fulfillment in their accomplishments instead of just being like, okay, what's next? Like I did that thing, check. And it's the things that you're talking about. It's realizing that like there are these like accolades or goals that you can go for and they're important and they're huge. But at the end of the day, like what are the other goals there that bring, that connect to your values and that are also meaningful? It's not just one thing.
Yeah. A lot easier said than done.
Way easier said than done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how are you doing right now, you know, moving forward?
For me, it's like, this is what I know. This is what I do. And just because that door has shut doesn't mean like everything's over. This is still my career and I love playing beach volleyball. I still want to inspire my daughter. I want to inspire other young athletes. And so after tournaments, when these little girls are asking for autographs and we just lost, it's really tough, but I have to suck it up and remind myself like they don't care that I won or lost. Like this is really cool for them to see like female athletes compete at a high level. So trying to stick with that, and I'm sure I'll have some ups and downs with it, but yeah, that's what I've been focusing on.
Yeah, it's so interesting because if you think about like the personal loss piece, like that's so hard, but there's almost this like unconditional excitement from the fans that they don't care about the win or the loss. They're just excited to see you and to meet you, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is really awesome.
So it sounds like you are very competitive as a person, like, and you love competing. What is it about competition that you love?
That's a great question. I mean, I love when you kind of get in that like automatic flow state. Like that's, I mean, it's not always achievable, but you have those moments where just things flow and things are going well. And that's awesome. And obviously I love winning. I don't always love winning ugly, but it's a skill to not play well and still win a match. That's very satisfying. In our sport, there's just so many challenges. With the wind, the sun, the elements, sometimes it's raining, it's cold. Just figuring out how to win when the other team's pushing you. Like I'm playing the best teams in the world and we're going to have adversity. They're going to pick on someone. They're going to be picking on me and I've got to find a way to put the ball in the sand. So there's always a new challenge, there's new adversity. There's something to problem solve and figure out every single match. And that's pretty fun when you can dial that in.
Yeah. So it sounds like you like the flow state, you like the challenges and you like having to rise up to those challenges.
Yes, definitely.
So is there trash talking? Cause you mentioned like picking on you. Like I'm not very familiar with volleyball. So
yeah, I feel like there's a little less trash talking in the women's side than maybe the more the men's, but you can kind of choose who you're going to serve and strategically plan your defense based on like what their favorite things are, like their favorite shots or favorite hits. So you can kind of pick on one person in a sense. Yeah, I'd say there's less trash talking than the men's side, but yeah.
How do you deal with some of those adversities when they come up? Like what are the skills that you employ when things things get hard.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to think about. I've been in an off-season mode, and now we're gearing up to preseason, so it's fun to think about. We always come up with an adversity plan with our partner before the year, at least I have in my partnerships, to talk about like what we want from our partner in those moments, because some people want the rah-rah. I don't want the rah-rah. That would just piss me off. So like finding like what works for me and what I can expect from my partner. It does vary. It's different. I'm very internal. So I need to be focused on like the next thing, like not thinking too much about the past, but like having a focus for me, sometimes feeling my toes in the sand just to get me grounded and to like be present is really helpful. And just dialing in on different focuses, like reading the server's hand, different cues. So something that's forward focused is helpful for me, not to dwell too much on the past.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think easier said than done. How do you do that? Like if you've like, I mean, I've heard you have this lethal serve, but if you've been serving and like now you're screwing up all your serves, or you're just kind of like constantly screwing up, how do you get past that?
Yeah, I've definitely developed some like phrases that help me, especially serving. It can be mental. Like, I mean, I can serve the ball in, but I've had matches where I serve a lot of balls out and it's frustrating because I'm not trying to do it, but you're just going through this. So different phrases like feel it or guide the ball or just finding little things. And sometimes every match is different. Like I'll use my old phrase and it doesn't work. So I've got to come up with something different, but that's very frustrating. And then like, as far as like passing, attacking, I've used this think box, play box. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. I think Annika came up with it, where when I'm in my like think box, maybe I'm stepping back, I'm thinking about what's happening or what's about to happen. And then when I step into my play box, I'm committing to one thing and I'm in there. Like, I don't want to be in my play box too long where my partner's talking to me and other thoughts come in. I want to be focused on that one thing, and that's like serve me the ball or reading the server's hand. So that's been really helpful to just dial that in. And it takes practice. Even though I'm familiar with it, I still have to remind myself to do it, and I still have to practice it in practice and matches. It's hard to be dialed in mentally for like 45 minutes, an hour, you know? So it's nice to have that like think box, play box mentality where I can kind of do some extra thinking and then be dialed in mentally for a short time.
Yeah. And it sounds like having those impactful, like, I guess the word is mantras, but sayings for yourself that keep you focused on the task at hand.
Yeah.
What about the relationship with your partner? I know that a lot of the podcasts you've been on, people ask a lot about the partnership aspect. So I'm guessing that that's a pretty massive piece of your success on these teams. How do you select a partner and how do you build relationship?
Yeah, that's a big factor for sure. You spend so much time with your partner, maybe more often off the sand than on the sand with how much traveling we do. So that's a big piece. Team meetings in the beginning of the year, talking about the adversity plan and different values that we share that we can lean in on when things are hard. Then learning how to communicate with each other. I like a certain way, my partner likes something different, and we usually deliver the way we want. So finding how to communicate in those tough times. Yeah. And then I think something we didn't do well was meeting with a sports psychologist, because we wanted to find the right one that fit for us. And I want to do that more moving forward. It's easier to have tough conversations and get to just really like a good outcome out of it, you know, a really focused conversation. So I think that would be really helpful with all partnerships, is all that communication part.
Do you think that having volleyball partners helps your relationship with like is he your husband or your partner?
My husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think my husband and I could probably see a sports psychologist or a psychologist too. yeah, for sure. I think my partner was reading a relationship book with her boyfriend. She's like, this feels more applicable to me and you than it does me and him. It definitely can help.
How have you changed over the years as an athlete and as a person, as you've navigated this whole journey?
Oh, so much. I think looking back, year one, I was so naive and such, just, I don't know, self-focused, as we talked about before. And I mean, I'm competitive and definitely have like this edge on the sand that maybe you don't see off the court, but I've learned to like off the court, like be more supportive of my competitors, of other people, just because the sport isn't everything. And everyone, like we talked about before, is going through something, and volleyball is just helping us like live in a different world. And it's kind of nice to escape and just play beach volleyball sometimes. But I feel like I definitely support women more than I have in the past. I've learned to appreciate my body. It's hard when we're wearing swimsuits all the time. And now that I'm a mom, I care a little bit less about what I look like. And I think it's pretty cool what our bodies have done to create this life. And it's pretty cool. Yeah, I've changed a lot. I'm trying to think of all the little things. Yeah, those two come to mind.
Yeah, I think the journey that we go through pursuing something like athletics or whatever, like we change in that process, hopefully for the better. And it's always so meaningful and impactful to look back and say, wow, like I've actually changed a lot over the years through some of these things that I've endured or done. Your comment about being more supportive of women off the court, like how have you done that? Because it can be really hard, especially in an environment where there are not a lot of resources. Like it sounds like volleyball might be one of those environments. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. I think before I wouldn't talk to other people. I was just in my own world, you know, just focused on myself. And now I feel like I've gotten to know some other people. I still think there's a little bit of an edge that I like to have. I don't want to be best friends with my competition, but I think being friendly and kind and helpful when they ask questions, especially now that I'm like an older athlete. I mean, I'm 31, but I think there's so many young people that now I'm one of the older ones that people will look up to me, and I can be more of like a mentor to some of those young athletes. I forgot what the question even was, but yeah, that's how I feel like I've been supporting some of these other athletes.
Yeah. And I also think the body image comment you made was really interesting. Like number one, when I looked at your Instagram and I saw like you have a swim, what's Left on Fridays? Is that the swimwear company?
Left on Friday, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I just had this moment of she has to compete in a swimsuit. Like that just when I saw that and I was like, holy crap, that must be kind of stressful. As somebody like cyclists, it depends on what discipline you're in, but I mean we wear like Lycra, but we're not at all in a swimsuit. So what's that like, and how has motherhood changed your relationship with body image?
Yeah. They have recently changed the rules. It's always been on the AVP you can wear what you want. So I don't have to wear a swimsuit. I can wear shorts, t-shirt, whatever I want. So that's awesome. Internationally, they recently changed a rule like 2 years ago that we can wear leggings whenever we want, or a tank top or a shirt. Before, it had to be a certain temperature that you had to wear. You could wear those things. So, or get a medical note. So it's pretty cool that our sports evolved and now we have more options, more autonomy. Yeah, I think it's hard. There's photographers on all our courts, probably too close for comfort, getting all these shots. We don't even know what they're getting. I think our bodies, the way we move, there's always going to be some sort of fat or something exposed. And I'm way more okay with that now than I ever have been, just after seeing like what my body's gone through. And hormonally every month, like my body's doing different things. I can't control when these tournaments are and what my body's doing necessarily, like holding on to water, you know, all those little things. And I'm more focused on how can I fuel my body for performance and not for what it looks like. Like I'd rather be playing well and winning than look good and just, you know, being average.
Yeah, I think that this message is so important, especially for younger athletes who think that if I have to look a certain way in order for people to take me seriously or in order for me to be good. And that can lead to a lot of unhealthy behaviors and even just like the way that you think of yourself.
Yeah, it's challenging. I still think there's going to be those challenges. It's part of growing up. You don't really realize like how amazing the female body is until you're older and you're pregnant or understand like everything. But yeah, I'd want to encourage those athletes to feel like just to fuel their bodies for performance. And again, easier said than done to be not thinking about what you look like. But if you're more comfortable playing in a t-shirt, like, do it. Like, it doesn't really matter what you're wearing. Just go out there and play your best.
So I'd love to hear what training looks like for you.
Yeah, typically while we're in season, we're on the sand for about 2.5 hours. And then I go straight to the gym for 1.5 to 2 hours to get my lift in and conditioning. And then it gives me time to do some recovery, whether that's Normatec, meeting with our athletic trainer, our massage therapist. And then I go home and I become a mom. Mm-hmm. So usually I get that all done before 1 or 2 and head home and go to a park with my daughter. Mm-hmm. We're always out and about because we have a small apartment. So just spending time with her, which it's been cool just to slow down this past couple months during the off season and spend time with her and be more present. She teaches me so much, especially when I feel like I'm like overwhelmed or stressed or I'm in a rush. She looks at me and she'll grab my face and she'll be like, "Mom, be happy." And that's just a good reminder of like, they see all the emotions that we're going through. And it's important for us just to slow down. And that's just a great reminder to, yeah, slow down and be present with her. And those other things really don't matter. If I'm late, it doesn't matter, even though I love being on time. So it's been things I've learned.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time that your kid looks at you and is like, "Be happy." Like, yeah. You're kind of like, "I didn't realize that you even noticed." So how often do you get to bring your husband and your daughter to your matches?
They came to a couple events this year. I love it. I love having them around. It's really hard on my husband unless he gets help there, just because we're on the beach for so many hours a day. And, you know, with a toddler, that can be challenging. And it's if it's hot and sunny and all that. So I'd like them to be at more, but they've only come to a few this year, which is awesome to have her there, especially after like successes and wins after the AVP Manhattan Beach Open, which is one of the biggest tournaments of the year. You get your name on the pier. We won the tournament in a tropical storm. And I get my daughter and I'm like, she's going to be so happy. And she's just bawling. She's crying. This picture. And I'm like, this is one of my happiest moments. And you're just crying. And I just think that's motherhood right there. They don't really care about the wins and the losses. Mm-hmm. She was kind of overstimulated, overwhelmed with everything going on, the loud noises. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's fun when they're there, but it's my job. So they can't come to everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's expensive to bring your kids to everything.
Yes. Yeah.
In some ways, it's kind of nice that your kids don't care about if you win or lose.
For sure. For sure. After some of those matches where we should have won and I go find her, she just wants me to go to the ocean and play. She doesn't care that everyone was just cheering me on. And yeah, she just doesn't care. And that's pretty cool. It's just a good reminder that there's more to volleyball. There's more to life than volleyball.
Yeah. And I mean, when you dedicate your life to a sport, it's hard to remember that sometimes, especially whenever you've taken a loss.
For sure.
Learning how to lose gracefully is a skill. How have you worked on that one?
Oh, I'm not a good loser. I have gotten better just with the experience. I think my family has learned after losses not to come talk to me and not to talk about volleyball, because I feel like the only person I can really talk to about it is my husband or my coach. My husband played Division I basketball, so he understands the competitiveness and all the feelings. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you have advice on how to work on it, because I'm still getting better, but I've definitely improved from I'm in college and my first year professionally to now. Definitely because of motherhood. But yeah, I think it's just a skill that needs to be worked on.
And it's interesting because like in my sport, it's not like 2-on-2, right? Like I'm in a field, I might be racing by myself or I might have just one teammate racing. So it's not that I just lost. I guess like if you come second, you lost to one person, but there's a bunch of other competitors around you at all times in the race. So it's a little bit less of like this person, I lost to this person or this team. And I think for me in cycling, it's more like I internalize it like, oh, it's my fault because this, this, and this happened. And for me, it's just like, the self-compassion piece of like, it's okay. And I did my best and I'm not going to win all of them. And if you won every single one of them, like this actually wouldn't be very interesting anymore.
That's very valid. I have learned that it's great to like reflect and debrief and then picking a time where I'm over it. And then I'm focused on the next match. So a lot of our matches are double elimination. So if you lose, you still have an opportunity to win the tournament. It's important to like, all right, when we talk to my partner, like when we walk in this room in our hotel room, like let's be done with it. We're done talking about it. So if you want to say anything else, let's do it now. That's been really helpful just to kind of pick that moment where the match is over and now we're focused on the next one.
Wow. It's so interesting to learn all these different things about volleyball and just about the competitive piece of it. Have you thought about competition? Like I've actually put a lot of thought into competition because you can think about competition as a zero sum game. And it's like, I have to like rise to the top and be on top of be at the best. And everybody else, like I, you know, they're my nemesis, I guess. Like I'm not articulating this well, but like what I've had to do for myself is say, yes, I'm competing against all these people. Yes, I want to beat them, but they also are helping me be my best. Instead of looking at all of them of like, I have to crush everybody. It's like, everybody here is amazing. And I'm grateful to them because if they weren't here, then I wouldn't be pushed to my highest level. Like, have you thought about competition in that way before?
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. I mean, I do love being an underdog. I love when there are people around me that are better. It's definitely more challenging when we're the higher seed or we're supposed to be winning. I think that's where it can be really challenging. It's easier to be on the other side. Yeah, no, I for sure have thought about it that way. I still feel like I look at my competitors when I'm on the court and they're my enemy. But then as soon as we're off the court, it's over.
You can let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that I found really interesting, I'm actually interviewing somebody next week about this, but she and I had a pre-call just for fun. And she's an expert in flow and competition specifically. And she was saying that people who are too focused on competition have a more difficult time getting into flow state. So I actually wanted to ask you, whenever you have encountered with flow states in your events, were you less focused on the competition and more focused on like the skills that you were trying to exercise or do?
Yeah, that's interesting. For sure. When I felt like in flow, it's almost like you black out. It's so hard to recall, like just, but yeah, when I'm not really thinking about my competitors, like a lot of times our competitors are ex-partners or they're people, yeah, you've had some sort of maybe relationship with, so it can get in the way of that flow state. And when you're focused on like doing the things I need to do and finding those mantras and the little things, I'm way more fluid and thinking more externally than I am internally.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Betsy, we are just about out of time here. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we sign off?
No, I'm just grateful to be here. And if you want to follow my journey, you can find me on Instagram. I'm most active there at Betsy Flint, BETSIFLINT. And I appreciate what you're doing. And I've loved your podcast episodes. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And I'm excited to watch your season unfold and watch you do it as a mom of an almost 3-year-old. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. And please don't forget to hit that subscribe button or share the show with your friends, as that is the best way to help this podcast grow. I can't believe I've been doing this show for almost 7 years, and I couldn't do it without the people that support me. Palm Tree Pod has been instrumental in making sure that my podcast is the highest quality, and my editor Roma as well. So thank you to them for helping me out. Also, thank you to you, those of you who are supporting my work on Patreon and PayPal. Podcasts are a labor of love, and also they cost a lot of money to produce. So I really appreciate those of you who are supporting my work in that domain. As always, I'm with you on this journey of personal growth, adventure, and our mission to be better every day. And I'll be right back here with you next week.